You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Break a Bat podcast, where baseball meets Broadway. An attempt to show that my two favorite mediums don't have to live in such separate worlds and maybe even break some stigmas. We're happy to have you with us. Now let's play ball. Hello and welcome to another edition of Break a Bat, where baseball meets Broadway. I'm your host, Al Malafronte, coming at you for the Broadway Podcast Network with a very special hitter tonight. We're going to welcome someone to the batter's box who on the theater front certainly needs no introduction. For the baseball fans, you're in for a treat, as our special hitter tonight is as much a Broadway all-star as anyone we've ever welcomed on the show. And I'm not just saying that. Her body of work in show business over the course of the past decade and change has made for a wonderful back of the baseball card. She got her start in the touring production of Spring Awakening as Vendla. She then went on to play Sue Snell and Carrie at the MCC Theater just before making her Broadway debut in Mamma Mia, when she starred as Sophie Sheridan over at the Winter Garden Theater. I'm sure for many of you, she's best known for originating the role of Princess Anya in the Broadway production of Anastasia. Over the course of nearly three seasons with the show, she went on to earn a Drama Desk nomination, a Theater World Award, and of course, she also received the very prestigious Broadway.com Star of the Year title, which on the baseball front, I often compare to being the top vote getter at the All-Star game. So in addition to everything she's accomplished on stage, she's also a tremendous singer-songwriter with a new album on the way called Wandering Bird. We're so grateful she could join us tonight. So with that being said, I ask you all to please turn your attention to home plate. Just beyond the marquee, now batting, Christy Altomar. Christy, welcome to Break a Bat.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. What a fantastic intro. You really hit all of the markers of my life.
I read off all your stats, your accomplishments, everything. Your accolades. I think you're ready to hit.
Honestly, yeah, you read off even more than I remembered. I was like, wow, that's so cool. I've done all these things.
Well, I'm so happy you could be here. How you doing?
I'm so happy to be here. I mean, I feel like, I don't know if you sort of feel this way, but I sort of feel like quarantine is like slowly like disintegrating and we're all like de-thawing from the frozenness of just not moving for a year. Are you feeling that way as well?
A little bit. I'm starting to see some more life come back to the city, especially, you know, the weather's starting to get a little bit nicer. We could eat inside again. It's nice. It's like, you know, I think we're out of the dark ages. I'll put it that way.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. You feel the dark ages are behind you and that the future is, I mean, I've been living in Pennsylvania for basically a year because once it got really bad, like once a bunch of people in my apartment building started getting COVID, and I thought there was a period of time where I thought even I may have gotten COVID. I got really, really, really sick at mid-March. And, you know, then it just like my neighborhood was like kind of scary because when there's less people on the streets and there's not that many policemen around, you know, late at night, we all had to be in before dark. So I just ended up going back to Pennsylvania where my family lives, and I'm going back to New York tomorrow, which I'm so excited for. So it really does feel like the dark ages are behind me.
That's amazing. We'll give you like a royal homecoming.
Yes, you'll have to like find out where I live and hold up a sign like welcome back.
Well, you know, that's nice that you could do a lot worse than retreating to Bucks County, Pennsylvania. And I know that I have to say this, as much as like any other guest that I've had on from Broadway, you've been pretty busy during this pandemic. It's nice to see that you're putting together that new album that's coming out soon. That's exciting.
Yeah, I've been, you know, this is like so sad because I really do feel like I am one of the lucky ones. I know I have a lot of friends, obviously. I've been working in this business for the last 10 years. I have a lot of actor friends who are not in my position. And, you know, I feel for them and I feel for Broadway and I want it to come back. And that's why it's so encouraging that these vaccines have been working, that we're feeling like the effects of, you know, the governor trying to open things up. And hopefully if the numbers don't go up, I really hope Broadway gets back to full swing because I, no pun intended, but I honestly just in my heart, I just feel like just grateful and blessed that because I got to do Anastasia, it has provided me the opportunity to share my heart with, you know, a whole group of people who love the story of Anastasia. And those people have been huge supporters of mine and have sort of supported me and encouraged me to, I'm finishing this album, and it's coming out soon. And then I'm, you know, I teach acting, which I never thought I was going to, I never thought I would be a teacher. And once quarantine hit and there wasn't much to do, these companies reached out and were like, oh, do you want to teach, you know, acting a song? And I never even thought that it would be something that I would even enjoy. I didn't know. And so I started teaching and I just found such love for that. And really feel like I'm giving back, even though we're in quarantine and we can't perform on a stage. You know, it's the other way I can give back to the world. And I did, you know, I did a Seth Radetzky concert series, which was like a virtual concert, which was really fun. So I have been busy. I have been doing things, and I'm very lucky for that, to have that, you know, within my grasp at this time.
You mentioned that Seth concert series. I like the joke that you were making, that you were kind of like the pregame show for the Super Bowl.
Yes! Yeah. Well, what's so, can I tell you the funny story with that is that they asked me to do it, right? And I'm a huge fan of Seth Radetzky, like massive. And so when I found out I was being asked, I was like, yeah, yes, yes, like Seth Radetzky. And then like a day later, I was like, oh my gosh, I got the Super Bowl slot. And then I was like, oh, and then I was like, this is actually great, because I'll just promote it as if it's like, watch my concert, then watch the Super Bowl. And so that was basically how I just spun the whole thing in that direction. And I think it worked to my advantage.
Yeah, it was brilliant. The whole promo that you did, you're like basically in a freaking gown and holding a football. Like that was actually awesome.
Yeah, trying to like, you know, like it also helps people remember the day it's happening.
True.
Because, you know, there's only one a year of that.
We need more sports tie-ins to Broadway. And I, you know, I have to know, because we do.
Oh, yes, we do. Yes, keep going.
I was going to say, you know, you being a Bucks County girl, not far outside of Philadelphia, we have a little bit of a baseball backdrop here. Are you a Phillies girl, a Pirates girl? Because I know Pittsburgh's kind of part.
I would say Phillies, and then obviously the Eagles for football. But yeah, I think everyone gravitates to their hometown. Like for you, you gravitate to yours as well, right? Or no?
Oh, of course. Oh, I've got the NY right on my head.
Yeah, I was like, it's on your head. Like, I feel it. And you know, that's what was so cool about, like, when I was doing Anastasia, the Eagles won the Super Bowl that year as I was doing the show. And it was just so crazy to, like, feel like I could represent, like, oh, my, you know, my state. So, yeah, the Phillies, totally, you know, support them.
Did our buddy Derek ever get you to play Broadway Show League?
Ooh, wait, is that where he sings the national anthem? What is Broadway Show Week?
So believe it or not, there's a very distant land in New York City called Central Park. You've heard.
Not far from my house. Not far from my apartment. Okay. Wait, are you talking about the softball league?
The softball league. Yeah, they call it Broadway Show Week.
Oh, yeah. No, I never did the softball league, but I've always... The thing is, I think every time that it's been available to me, I've just... You're so exhausted doing your 8-show week that it's just, you have no, like your, all your energy goes into that. But I do think it's very cool. And I also never did, they also have Broadway bowling, and I never did that either. Everyone was like, come on, we're all bowling. And there's also like, I think there was also like Broadway trivia was a thing too once. And I've never been to any of these things. I'm the worst. But have you done the Broadway league?
No, I can't qualify. I'm not like a cast member of one of these shows.
Yeah, so. But sometimes you can. Like sometimes, like if you're affiliated with a show, I feel like sometimes people get people in.
Okay, so the next
maybe
time
I'm lying.
You know, next time you're in a Broadway show, you're just telling me that you're going to guarantee me the third base position. I think
is that your position?
Back in the day, I mean, it's been a little while.
Okay, wait. Next time I'm in a show, I will seek you out and see if maybe you can just wear a shirt that says Christy Altomare and you can represent for me.
All right, I'll wear a Christy Altomare jersey any day of the week. Absolutely.
I'll just pretend like you're me and it'll be great.
Yeah, there we go. That's totally fine. I can't carry a show though, like 8 times a week like you did. Have you enjoyed the downtime overall? I mean, I know you've been working throughout this, but like mentally, yeah. Where are you at these days?
Actually, I don't even want to say this out loud because I don't want to manifest never working again. I love being in shows and I love working professionally, but there is nothing. I really believe in that statement, early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. And performers are kind of night dwellers. You know, we have our show either a Saturday matinee, but most of the time, like 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock at night, and then you're done and you're doing the stage door sometimes to like 12:30, 1 o'clock. And then you get home and you have to decompress. And so then it just doesn't make sense for you to wake up at 5 and go to the gym. So you're waking up at like 10 and the day is kind of shot, you know, not to mention that when you are doing a show, you have to really be careful not to talk too much and to preserve your voice and to preserve your body. So there, you know, it is very much like training for the Olympics, you know, or being a professional sports player in a way. It's very much the same thing. So during this time, it's been nice because I get to wake up early. I get to go for a jog. You know, I'm a runner. Like I ran the last marathon in 2019. They didn't get to do the real one, the New York City Marathon in 2020, but I feel like this one, the next one's going to be crazy because it's the 50th anniversary of the New York City Marathon. Long tangent, but yeah.
Yeah, no, I should have mentioned that in your credentials, the fact that you literally completed the New York City Marathon. That was absolutely epic. You have a reputation, you know, for being like a runner here on Broadway. So I think that's like a good forte to have, yeah.
Yeah, I've always been a runner, but it wasn't until like I started doing Anastasia that it was like that little bug on my arm of like, you're not getting any younger and you want to run a marathon one day, like you should do it now. And and in my mind, I was like, this will be great because it'll be this time away from the show where I can really decompress. And I did the 9+1, which if you're in New York and you understand, it's basically you have to run through New York Roadrunners Association or whatever. You have to run 9 races and then plus one like volunteer event. And I did all of those races plus the volunteer event while I was doing 8 shows a week, which was just crazy because some weekends I would have to like run 10 miles in a race and then do the matinee and then do the evening and then do press. Like, I don't even know how I did it. And then it was so funny because at the very end, I started to like, they started to realize that I was running this race, like the people at, you know, the people that run the race. And they were like, you should have just asked us if you could qualify. We probably would have just gotten you in. But I was like, no, it's not fair. It's not fair to just give me that honor. Like I have to like earn it.
Oh, I love that. I absolutely love that. Now, let me ask you, you know, you mentioned the volunteer event. Do you get recognized at an event like that?
Well, no, because the volunteer event is just a bunch of runners and they're not focusing on faces usually. But I think the most I get recognized would be in Midtown, like when people are going to see Broadway shows or if I'm walking down 8th Avenue or 9th Avenue, and any Broadway actor will tell you that. It's like, it's the culture of everyone's seeing shows, everyone's thinking Broadway, and then you walk by and they may, you know, remember your face or know your show or have just seen your show or something like that.
You know, it's so interesting because I just think of you as someone who has such a positive disposition. And I want to bring up something that you've said a couple of times over the course of your career. But one thing I've always been curious about, I know in between Mamma Mia and Anastasia, you had a little bit of like a layoff period. You know, you hadn't worked in a while and you had kind of like made a conscious effort to change your outlook on life once the going got tough. But the thing that's always fascinated me is, you know, you're such a genuine girl. I can't see you through any other lens but one that's like positive and kind. What was going on between Mamma Mia and Anastasia, you know, where your head was, you know, in like kind of like that different place that you've talked about where you really had to buckle down and change?
Thank you for bringing this up because I actually love talking about this because a lot of times when people hear about, oh, she was on Broadway or she, you know, she achieved something, they think that, you know, it's smooth sailing for you. But ultimately, anyone who's achieved anything that's considered like a feat, right? We would say being a Broadway lead is a feat, has to go through that stage of of darkness. I feel like we all sort of have that place. And even if we don't, even if we get our success early on, you eventually, I feel like we all, no matter who it is, like you have to go through that to like that sense of self where you really have to look within and like things aren't always, you're not always at the top, right? And so when, after I played Sophie in Mamma Mia, you were right. I went through this stage where like nothing was going on. And when I was a kid, people used to always say, I feel like you have this childlike wonderment energy about you, right? Where I'm just so positive all the time and happy and silly and go lucky. So when the depression hit and the sadness hit and not getting to work hit and all these other things, like my boyfriend and I broke up and my, you know, I was running out of money and I was going to have to leave my apartment and just like anything bad that could happen, happened. Like one of my best friends passed away. It was just like everything piled on. I often end up being in a place where I feel incredibly, I'm one of those people that feels really like, I don't want to put my energy around someone when I'm sad. So I just hermit in. And that's what I've always done. Like if I find that I don't feel that childlike wonderment within myself and that happy-go-luckiness within myself, I just hermit. So I completely close myself off from everyone and sort of like sat in my room in sadness. And in my way, I sort of feel like that's actually good for me. It may not be good for other people, but for me, it was good because it forced me to sit with my thoughts and to sit with my feelings and to really analyze myself. And by through that analyzing, I was able to realize, okay, these emotions are not normal. These feelings are not normal. Something is off with you. You have to change everything. And so it wasn't until like right after the Christmas holiday where I was seeing my family and they're all sort of like giving me that look, like not saying it out loud, but sort of like, what are you doing? Like, are you still acting? Like, what is your life? And me just feeling like a failure. And I go back home and I lay on the ground and I look up at the ceiling and I say to myself, you know, you either end it all. I mean, that's dramatic, right? So, but I'm not that bad. But like, you know, you continue going down this dark path of sadness for the rest of your life, or you make the choice to change and to shift things. And the only thing that I could do is say to myself, like, your mind is sick. Like, it's just a mindset at the end of the day. It's these beliefs that you create, right? So over time, I was believing, nobody ever wants to work with me again. I'm not talented. I'll never make it. Like, you know, you have all these like thoughts that just trickle in and just stay within you. And so I just believed in myself. And I was like, you gotta just tell yourself your brain is sick right now. Your brain is sick and it's misfiring and you need to rewire this. So I woke up in the morning and I decided I'm going, no matter how painful it is, I'm going to make a shift. And that pain is important to understand. It's important to understand that change is painful, especially when you've been doing the same sad thing over and over again. We almost become friendly with that dark place. Like, it's as much as we despise being in that sad, depressing place, we also love it at the same time because it's what we know. It's our comfort zone. So to have broken out of that comfort zone, it's important to know it is going to be painful. It is going to be painful. And so I started with my own way of, I created this thing called the accomplishment book, which I really want to actually like patent and do, like make an accomplishment book that other people can buy. But it's basically like, you know, any old day planner. But the goal is you write down your accomplishments after you've accomplished them. So you have a reminder, like a full-on reminder at the end of the day of what it is that you accomplished and what it is that you can feel proud of yourself for. And every day I would just tell myself it's incremental shifts. So in the morning, I would wake up at 5. Oh, the early to bed, early to rise. I was like, what do successful people do? They wake up early. So I started waking up at 5 in the morning and it was like, what else do? They work out. I didn't have the strength to walk to the gym and work out, but I had the strength to walk outside of my apartment. So I walked outside of my apartment, went inside, wrote it down, was able to get out the door. And then the next day it was, I was able to walk down the street. And then the next day it was, I was able to get into the gym. Then the next day it was, I was able to walk on the treadmill, you know? And so every day it was just those little incremental shifts. So that's a tiny example, but then I equated it to everything else. Like, you know, cleaning my room and like, you know, answering emails and just getting, you know, calling my grandmother to tell her I love her, like, and writing all these things down and seeing them. And then you realize how much time you waste in a day. And I realized, oh my gosh, I'm not being productive at all. And so then I just started like continuing to be productive and taking those missed hours and missed minutes. And you know, some people would call it like chopping wood. And like, you know, like all these things like equate to like versions of chopping wood. Like they're busy. It's kind of busy work, but it gets yourself in the mindset that you have to be in if you want to achieve anything. And so I continued to do that. And then eventually one day I started to become more and more elated with every day. I would wake up and I'd be like, yeah, I might have to leave my apartment in 2 weeks, but guess what that means? Like I get my apartment for 2 more weeks, which is the complete opposite of I'm going to lose my apartment. And so I had this incredible epiphany and, you know, realization that, you know, money doesn't matter. Being an actress doesn't matter. Like none of that matters. All that really matters is me loving myself. That's all that matters. And once I, and believing in myself and believing that I can do anything. And part of me believing in myself was looking at that accomplishment book every day and seeing, wow, I went from here to here. I went from can't even go to the gym to jogging 3 miles. Like I'm fine. And so if I can do that, I can do anything. And so then that turned into maybe if I can't be an actress, maybe I'll start a business. So I came up with this crazy business plan. I talked to people. They were all into it. I was like ready to do it. And then I got a random call to ask me to do a reading. For like not much money. It might've been like $100 or something. And I was like, okay. So I did this reading and it gave me this confidence of I am an actress. And I called my agent and my manager and I was like, get me an audition. Cause I had my auditions were dwindled down to nothing. And they were like, no, like no one wants to see you. Like they even sent me like a list of everything they were sending me in for, which was a lot. Like they sent me in, they like submitted me for so many auditions and none of the casting directors wanted to see me at that time. And they said, it's because the new blood is coming in and like, you're kind of old news is what they said. And I was like, okay, but like, it's your job to get me an audition. So I believe in you, get me an audition. And they were like, okay. So they fought. I'm sure they had to make a couple calls and like, who knows what they had to do, but they got me 2 auditions. And one of them was Anastasia. And then I went in for my Anastasia audition. The next day I found out I got it and it changed my whole life. I didn't have to move out of my apartment. Like I didn't like, like everything shifted for me. And it just came from that belief in myself and that love for myself. And then it's almost like when you snap into that inside, then it provides you the opportunity to have the clarity to be able to make the steps to achieve the other things. You could say it's magic. You could say magically things come to you when you're positive, or you could say when you have a positive outlook, you're also able to see the pathway to success better than you would before. Because let's say I got it and I got the audition for Anastasia and I was like super down and depressed. Maybe I wouldn't have worked as hard on it. Maybe I would have been feeling insecure because I hadn't, you know, been eating well or whatever. And so, you know, it all starts from inside.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
I know I talked for a long time, sorry.
No, go... I feel like this is a story that's never been told. How many girls are you going up against when you're auditioning for Anastasia?
I think they said it was like hundreds because in this scenario, they had been auditioning. I mean, because the birth of a musical sort of works like this. They write the musical, then they'll do a reading. They'll try to get investors. Then they'll do another reading, try to get investors. Then eventually a workshop, try to get investors. Then they'll do an out-of-town tryout, try to get investors. And then if they get enough investors, then they have enough money to go to Broadway. And so that's kind of the birth of a musical. And throughout this time, generally they're holding auditions. So they're holding a bunch of auditions for Anya. Then they're holding a bunch of auditions for Anya. Then they're holding a bunch of auditions for Anya. And luckily, talk about serendipity. The day I was like, get me an audition to my agent, it just so happens it was their last audition for the out-of-town tryout for Anya, for Anastasia. And I didn't even know. I didn't know I was going in on a final audition. And they had already pretty much seen every Anya in the city that wanted to be Anya. And I walked in and I was one of the final people that they saw. And it just worked in my favor, you know? And that's never always the story, but I was just very fortunate and in the right place at the right time.
Now, did they have you sing the song when you go into that first audition?
Yeah. If you're going to a final callback, especially, they will give you all the material. So I had four songs from the show and four scenes from the show, which if you're auditioning, they call it sides, but which I don't know why they should just call it scenes. But yeah, you have four scenes from the show that you kind of have to like perform. And I did those. And then they asked me to come back later that day to do a chemistry call. And a lot of times this will happen with musicals that they'll have a chemistry session where a boy and a girl or whoever's the love interest, they have the love interest together to see if there's chemistry or there's like a connection between the two of them. And I just so happened that they were like, we're going to have you do it with your old boyfriend. And I was like, what? And then they were like, no, not actually your boyfriend, but somebody who played your boyfriend in a musical. So I got to work with Derek Leno, who you know. And it was so great because usually a final callback would be so terrifying, especially a final callback where they're calling you back after the big audition. Like it's like the very last step before you find out you get it. You know, you instead of being terrified, I was so excited because I was just going to get to perform with somebody who I admire, who I think is a great performer, who I've worked with before. So it kind of took all the pressure off because it's like, whether I get this or not, I get to work with Derek today. How awesome. And so they saw that chemistry. They saw the connection between us. And yeah, the rest is history. They cast both of us in the show and we got to do it on Broadway.
You absolutely crushed it. And I did get to see that show. And that's not my typical genre of shows. I absolutely loved it. I even said that to Derek. The one that I appreciated most, and obviously I love Journey to the Past, but on this podcast, we joke that Learn to Do It is kind of like the Break a Bat anthem because except, you know, we're not educating Broadway folks about, you know, the Romanoff lifestyle. We're educating them about baseball, you know, the information, the facts, the stats, you know, like the Duke of Oldenburg was short. It's kind of like Jeter hit leadoff and played short. Like we do little things like that.
Yes, that's awesome. Yeah. I mean, she's learning all of the things to try to become an expert at the Romanoff family and, you know, you'd be learning all those things to become an expert at baseball.
Yeah, sort of, kind of. Yeah,
a performer. Or I don't. I mean, a baseball player. I don't know.
What position would you play if, like, you think that you could be a baseball player?
Ooh, that's a really good question. I'm trying to think. Like, I think I would like to catch the ball. So maybe. Well, the hardest one is first base, right? If you're in the outfield.
Well, if you're in the infield playing first base, anytime there's a ground ball, you got to get ready to field your position and catch the ball coming at you. I mean, realistically, if you talk about catching the ball, obviously the catcher is receiving from the pitcher at a very high speed. There's a pitcher actually on the Yankees named Aroldis Chapman, who's like kind of like our unofficial mascot. He throws 105 miles an hour. I don't know if you'd want to be his pitcher. First base, I mean, is a pretty prominent position. It's a power position. You have a pretty powerful voice.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I would probably want to be power position, but like something that I think is manageable. I think all the stress of like, am I going to throw like the curveball or the this? Like, I don't think I could be like that person, but catching the ball like from the field. But I think that would be one of those positions. but I was going to say, do people break ribs when they're catching the on the other side?
Well, you know when people break ribs a lot is when they're actually going after balls in crazy plays. Like if, let's say, I'll give you an example, in 99, Paul O'Neill, great Yankee, was going after a ball. This was right towards the end of the regular season. He was going for a ball down the foul line and you're hustling. You can't see what's going on around you. And he just ran into the wall and he breaks his rib, like coming up like that. And he still played throughout the playoffs because he's a badass. And that's why they call him the Warrior. But it's like, it happens in more in the unexpected ways. It's not like, you know, from field, you know, have a 95 hit you, you know, in the chest or something. It's more like those unexpected plays.
Yeah. I mean, you see you see stuff like that happen in Broadway all the time where, oh my gosh, I went to go see Honeymoon in Vegas on Broadway and the stage manager was out that night. So they had the assistant stage manager calling the show, which when you call the show, you basically are the person who says like, okay, you can move this set piece now. You can move this thing now. You can enter now. Like she kind of like says it all through the headsets to let, you know, the stagehands know what to do. And she was like, great, you can open up the trap door on the ground now. So this big trap door opens up, like slides open where the, like underneath is nothing but like the basement. So you'd be dropping from the stage to the basement. And she forgot to call for it to go back. So the lead girl danced into the trap and like fell and like broke her ankle. And still, this was the first number of the show. I watched her complete the full rest of the show with like a broken ankle. And they even like stopped the show for a second and Tony Danza was in it in the show and he came out and he's like, she's okay. They're wrapping her ankle. She's going to get back out there. And it was just crazy. And everyone's just sitting there like, oh my gosh, this girl's badass. Like just amazing.
I love that. Now, have you ever come that close to like a really catastrophic injury on stage?
I did, but unfortunately I did not finish the show. Like I just left and went to the doctors and got stitches.
Was this Anastasia or Mamma Mia? Or, you know, I'm one
No,
of the
it was actually Spring Awakening, which is a show. I don't know if you're familiar with the show, but it's kind of like, it's a coming of age story where it's this repressed society in Germany where these kids find out what sex is and they're like, oh my gosh, like I had no idea. And then like two of the kids like end up having sex for the first time. And so my character, I was playing that character. And so throughout the show, I had these like knee-high stockings that like go, I guess they thigh-high stockings that I wear throughout the show that I'm constantly pulling on and off throughout the show. And I, at the first scene of the show, I drop down on my knees. It's like a part of the show where like I go to my knees to like put my head on my mother's lap to kind of ask her, where do babies come from, right? So I go down on my knees and something either goes up my knee or like scratches my knee and I have a huge gash in my knee. So I finish the scene, I go off stage and all I'm thinking about is this gash on my knee and me having to like pull on and off my stockings throughout the whole show. And they were like, oh, you could do it. I was like, I don't think so. Like I need, and I left and I felt so bad because they just had hired a new understudy for me. And so she's literally backstage and she had like notes on her arm, like written down. And the other crazy thing about the show is the whole cast sits on stage. It was kind of special where there were risers on the side of the stage. So the whole cast sits on stage watching the show as it's happening. So they're not even backstage. So I go off, I'm going to the hospital and she's coming on in the next scene with like notes on her arm, like 4 feet taller than me. And everyone's like, what happened? But they can't say anything because they're just sitting on the stage watching. But yeah, that's as close as I came. And I failed. See, this is why. This is why maybe I wouldn't be the best baseball player.
Well, you know what, Christy? Maybe not, but nonetheless, I thought of a kind of fun idea tonight. And, you know, you and I have something in common, by the way. And I know that this is just audio. Maybe the folks at home can't see this. I'm going to show you. And let me just pull something off the shelf here. Now, when I pull these out here, what do you see here?
Oh, one of my favorite shows. So, I see Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah, so we are both diehard Friends fans, me and Christy. And, you know, all of our regular audience knows of our, like, you know, Baseball Meets Broadway winner circle. You know, those who kind of establish themselves as part of the Baseball Meets Broadway trivia elite. Now, I know that, you know, Christy doesn't necessarily think that she might make a great baseball player, but I thought that we could play a little game that combines the two main genres of our show, baseball and Broadway, as well as Friends, which
okay.
Yeah, like it's called the seventh inning stretch. And if you answer enough of these questions right, you win a little prize, which is like kind of cool.
Okay.
And yeah, and the key rule is just you just get enough of them right, you win the prize. So there's like
okay. And if I fail, I'll just
you'll tell
fine.
Me to cut it, and then we'll cut it. Wouldn't be the first time. Okay. Yeah. That has happened before. Okay. All right.
How many times has it happened?
Once.
It happened. This might be number two.
Yeah. So this was pre-COVID, and we were still in studio too. So that taught me to like keep it very safe going forward. But this would actually be kind of cool. Sometimes you do games with a twist, and hopefully this will be right up your alley. And yeah, let's see how you do.
Okay.
Here's a fun one. Which of the following Broadway alum did not make a guest appearance on Friends? A. Brooke Shields. B. Charlton Heston. C. Deborah Messing. Or D. Christina Applegate.
Ooh. What was the second one?
Charlton Heston was choice B.
I don't know who that actor is. I'm the worst. What has he been in?
Like classic 60s, 70s movies. And I think his last Broadway appearance was in the 60s.
Okay, so
him? Want me to read the choices again?
No, wait. You're giving me this chance where I'm like, no. Okay, so then I'll say the last one, Christina Applegate. Is that what
Christina
you said?
Christina Applegate played your girl Jennifer Aniston's sister in a few episodes.
I was like, I feel like she's been in it. And I was like, and I also feel like Deborah Messing has, but she hasn't.
Deborah Messing was the answer that has not been in an episode of Friends.
I would have thought for sure Deborah Messing played somebody's girlfriend.
You would have thought, right? Like the NBC family, unfortunately not. Listen, you're 0-for-1. There's a lot of at-bats in a baseball game. And the way I see it is, you might do a little bit better on this next one. Also ties into Friends and Broadway and a little bit of baseball, okay?
Okay, okay.
Which Broadway alum and one-time Friends guest star played drums for the Beach Boys during their 1989 performance at Yankee Stadium? Is it A, Jason Alexander? B, Billy Crystal? C, Jeff Goldblum? Or D, John Stamos?
John Stamos.
You've watched Full House growing up. Ding, ding, ding. That is the correct answer.
Also, like, but it didn't he play with the Beach Boys on the show, on Full House?
Yeah, many times, actually. Yes, you remember the Forever video as well. Okay, excellent. There we go. You got a hit.
I love Full House. Such a good show.
So classic.
I actually saw John Stamos in How to Succeed in Business Without Even Trying when I was like, I don't know, 8 years old when he was on Broadway.
Oh, he crushed it. I remember he was doing, I think it was Bye Bye Birdie, fresh off a Beach Boys tour, because I remember going to see the Beach Boys live and people were talking like, oh, you know, he's going to be in New York for, you know, another month or so. He's like going to do Bye Bye Birdie. So yeah, he's been.
Who did he play? Did he play Birdie?
Did he play Albert or did he play Birdie?
He'd be an Albert. He'd be an Albert.
Total Dick Van Dyke.
I don't see him being like, oh, one last kiss. I'm sure he's like, he was Albert.
He's more, yeah, Jesse and the Rippers didn't have that in their set list typically, I don't think, right? All right, so let's see. You're 1-for-2 here. Let's do a fun question here. Okay. I think you actually might get this one. And it's basically a pure baseball question.
Okay.
Okay. The Yankees and Phillies faced off in the 2009 World Series. During that series, which member of the Phillies tied the Major League record for most home runs in the Fall Classic? Is it A, Chase Utley? B, Raul Ibanez? C, Jason Worth? Or D, Carlos Ruiz?
Okay. I don't know the answer to this.
I can read the options again.
This is such an easy one too, I'm sure. And I'm so sorry. What is it? Just say it.
Okay. The answer is A, Chase Utley.
Okay.
B, All right, he tied the record. Okay, you know what? Let's stick back to like the Broadway Friends genre here. Get you into the winner's circle. Like I said, there's no real like golden rule as far as how many.
I don't need to be in the winner's circle, but I love answering these questions. It's fun.
It is kind of fun.
Yeah, I'm into this.
All right, this is a fun one, and I bet you remember this episode. Season 7 episode of Friends.
Okay.
Rachel invites Chandler to Ralph Lauren in order to help him find a tuxedo for his wedding. Do you remember this?
I think I remember this. I've seen every episode of Friends. I'm pretty sure.
Okay. So,
but I'm scared.
All right. Don't worry. We haven't even played Fastball Derby yet. Do not get scared yet. She shows him custom tuxedos that celebrities have worn to award shows and sent back. Rachel informs Chandler that one of those tuxedos was worn by a certain member of the New York Yankees. Was that Yankee A, Paul O'Neill, B, Andy Pettit, C, David Justice, or D, Tino Martinez?
I do not know the answer to this. I'm so sorry. But these are really great curated questions. Can I just say the mix of Friends and baseball and Broadway, I'm just like, they're really great questions and I should know all of them, but unfortunately I do not. So tell me, what is it?
The answer is A, Paul O'Neill. And you clearly, broken rib before. I thought that was
yes, you just mentioned his broken rib. Do you know what my favorite part is? My favorite part of this is that like the last two have been A. So you hear A and then you see like my face just like... I know you guys are at home are just listening to this, but you're looking right at my face, Al, and you're just like,
it's a blast.
She doesn't know the answer to this. But you know what? Here's the thing. This is why I really want this to still be in the podcast, because I don't care. It's fine. It's fine. I don't know.
Here's the thing. You know, you don't care about being in the winner's circle, and that's okay. I think that you should still go out a winner with a decently fun question here.
Okay.
And we'll keep it pure Broadway. Not one mention of baseball whatsoever. Okay.
Okay. And maybe I'll know the answer to this. Okay. Maybe I'll know the answer to this.
Let's see. You're part of a great lineage when it comes to the Mamma Mia franchise. Okay.
Okay.
The film version featured a number of phenomenal movie stars, many of which have also performed on Broadway at some point in their career. Which of the following stars of the Mamma Mia film has yet to appear on Broadway?
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
A, Meryl Streep. Can't even get the answers out. Okay. B, Pierce Brosnan. C, Christine Baranski. Or D, Dominic Cooper.
Okay. I'm going to say the second one Pierce Brosnan?
That is correct. Yes, that is correct. As much as we'd love to see James Bond on Broadway, you're correct with your choice of Pierce Brosnan. He's yet to appear on Broadway. And you still win a prize.
I don't. You're just saying that because I get
this. You win the participation trophy.
I love it.
This is your official Chapman on Broadway break a bat long sleeve t-shirt.
Oh, I love it. Oh my gosh, it's long sleeve. Long sleeve's the best.
This is perfect for you coming back to New York right now, right? This is like a nice spring shirt. You can wear it to Yankee Stadium when you obviously are like so down to go to games. And
once I have my vaccine, absolutely perfect. Going to all the games, all of them.
Epic. That's the spirit that we need. That's why I feel good about giving you this. So that is awesome. You've won it. Now, Aroldis Chapman. Yeah, you'll see him right up on there. He actually plays for the Yankees. I don't know how much he likes that he is the unofficial mascot of this podcast, but nonetheless, I'm sure he'll be happy to see that you're rocking the shirt.
Nice. I'm sure he'll figure it out over time, though, right? How long is this going to be going on?
Well, no, this has been going on for a year and a half. You know, our avatar is him in the blue hairspray wig, actually. So, like, whenever we would tag him and post, so yeah, he's viewed a couple of those.
So he's aware.
He's aware. I don't know if he's happy about it because I think that he disabled the ability for us to tag him.
Oh!
His translator blocked us. It was a whole big thing. But
anyway. Oh my gosh. But that almost makes it better. Like that's when you lean in.
Yeah.
And you just keep doing it.
You are an instigator. And so and that's a great
And that well, I'm just saying what you're already doing. So it's perfect.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I'm glad that you're on board with that. I appreciate that.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Now, I know, by the way, one thing I did want to talk to you about was I know that like right before things got crazy with Broadway, you were supposed to do the Dion project. Anything, any news on that front? Like what's going on with that?
I don't have like any definite news, but I know that they're hoping that once Broadway opens up, that it will run at the paper mill. The situation the lucky situation we're in is that they never really got started, like building the sets or putting together the costumes. It was always just, we're going to do the show. And right around lockdown was before any of that stuff went into motion. So it's not like, it's just an idea. And they already, I think they sold very, very well, the last time when it was supposed to happen. So I think it's encouraging that like, if it does go back, you know, there is a good chance that like maybe, you know, our show will get to represent, which would be really cool. And amazing people were a part of it. I hope that they keep us all. It's me and Michael Wartella and Joey McIntyre from New Kids on the Block, who's awesome and totally so talented. Oh my goodness. Like the show was incredible to work on, and Dion DiMucci is just such an icon of his time. If you haven't heard of his music, he wrote Runaround Sue. Everyone knows that song and The Wanderer. But his newer music is the music that like is definitely to listen to. He just came out with a new album and it's unbelievable.
Didn't he have Springsteen on that album? Am I wrong about that?
I'm sure he has. Yeah. I mean, Springsteen is a huge, Springsteen was inspired by Dion. And it's kind of interesting though, because like when you listen to Dion's music, you can see how Springsteen had like, you know, it's like when I write music, I'm inspired. We're all inspired by someone, right? So like I grew up listening to Joni Mitchell. So sometimes like when you hear my songs, like I'll like, you know, like you put in a riff that sometimes sounds a little bit like that. It's not so much copying as it is like giving an homage to that person. And another cool thing about The Wanderer was there was actually a Bruce Springsteen song that they added to that show that I got to sing, which was really cool. I love Bruce Springsteen too. He's amazing.
So I know that. So typically I view Pennsylvania as like neutral to the New York and Jersey thing. So are you more of a Bruce girl than you are like a Billy Joel girl, for example?
Yeah. I mean, only because my mom and my dad were big Bruce fans, like massive Bruce fans. So it's kind of like what I grew up with. And my whole family came from Trenton, New Jersey. And then as like, when I turned two, it's so funny. It's like everybody sort of moved to Pennsylvania, which is right across the bridge from where I live, like with the Delaware River connecting. So even though I am from Pennsylvania and I really did grow up in Pennsylvania, I do feel the influence of Jersey often, just because my parents were from Jersey and all of that. But I do love Billy Joel. I actually saw him live in concert last year, well, before the quarantine started. So,
yeah, that's. I mean,
were you able to hear all of that? I'm sorry.
I absolutely was. It was coming in a little slowly there, but I will always stop and listen when you're talking about Billy Joel. So let me ask you this: you know, the closing point on your taste in music. You said you love Joni Mitchell. Are we going to hear some Joni Mitchell style music in this upcoming album of yours?
Yeah, I think no matter what, she lives inside of me like a little bit, like it's, but it's very much my own style that is totally mine. There's a slight influence there, but for the most part, my music ranges between like slightly poppy to just, you know, I try to tell stories and it can be a bit folky as well. So yeah, I'm excited. I have been writing for the past 10 years, but in the past 10 years, I've been doing Broadway shows and things like that. So I haven't really had the time to invest. And I've really poured my heart into this album and I can't wait for it to be out there. It's time for sure.
I can't wait to listen to it. And I know you've released some other solo albums before, but you mentioned that 10-year gap. I think this is cool because it's a chance for your fans to, you know, hear your mature work, you know, from a songwriter standpoint. So I think
There's a lot of newer songs on there, but there's also some older songs from like when I was on tour, or, you know, you can pick them out, you know, you can listen and like, oh, that one was probably from tour. and some of them are from, you know, just when I was doing other shows. And then some that are very, very recent. That kind of pertain, like I have one song about, you know, being addicted to your phone, and just like the chorus is like, no one needs to know, like about like, you know, when you have that feeling where you're on your phone and you're sort of like, I've wasted 3 hours looking at nothing. No one needs to know my deep, dark secret. Like you just feel like so bad. So yeah, there's some songs on there like that.
That's interesting. And you know, that's a topic that really hasn't been tackled too much. So I'm sure that people will benefit from hearing your takes on that. I know I certainly will.
The good and the bad of it, right? It's just the humanness of it. Like we hate ourselves, but also it brings such pleasure, like to, you know, flipping through your phone and finding things that make you happy.
I cannot wait to listen to this album. And I certainly will give all the folks at home, you know, some links in the episode description as far as how they can connect to, you know, what you're doing on the music front and where they could find it.
Thank you.
Of course. And, you know, Chrissy, there's one little segment that we use to wrap the show. It's not quite as fun as Seventh Inning Stretch with those great trivia questions.
That was my favorite part of this interview or this podcast. My favorite part of this podcast.
I'm so glad that you're telling me that we could keep it in there, because this segment, I want you to visualize like, That guy who throws 105 miles an hour. Do you remember his name?
Aroldis Chapman.
Of course, that's right. So Chapman is on the mound, throw 105. You got to think quick in the batter's box. This is a chance, you know, for folks at home to get to know you a little bit better with a few questions that it will ask you about yourself. And we'll ask you something. Think quick and tell us the first thing that comes to your mind.
Okay.
Philly cheesesteak or New York slice?
New York slice.
Favorite New York City meal?
Everything. Everything.
Everything bagel?
Literally everything. Everything there. I love the Mexican food. I love the Indian food. I love the Thai food. I love it all. Italian food. There's nothing bad. I love it all.
Are you part Italian, Chrissy?
I'm 50%.
I thought so. Okay.
Are you Italian?
Last name's Malafronte. It means bad forehead.
Right. What does it mean? Wait, what does it mean?
Bad forehead.
Oh, mine means you don't have a bad forehead. I'm alto mare, which means the high of the sea.
Ooh, I like that. That's a lot better than bad forehead. That's fantastic.
That is a little weird that that's even a last name. That should not be allowed to be a last name. I mean, it's beautiful. It sounds gorgeous when you don't know what it means, but. Bad forehead, really? Like, I just am glad that you live in America and you don't live in Italy.
I know, unfortunately, not all of us can have our names tied to the ocean like you do, but that's all right, Chrissy. All right.
Sorry. I don't mean to judge. It's really gorgeous when it's in America and we don't really all know exactly.
Well said. And I think that's the first time that has ever come up on this podcast. So
perfect. There's a first for anything.
Exactly. Okay. Let's see here. Important one. Team Jeter or Team A-Rod?
Ooh. A-Rod.
You must like J-Lo. Okay. Next question.
Yeah, J-Lo.
All right. Greatest baseball game or sporting event you've ever been to?
Ooh, okay, you're gonna laugh. But when I was younger, we went to see the Women's World Cup with Mia Hamm and Julie Foudy. I don't know if you remember those guys, but it was like, you know how the Women's World Cup comes every 4 years. But we were like the perfect time, and I think Bill Clinton might have been there. So that was kind of cool. It's like, I know it's like a weird one, but
that's a cool Mia Hamm and Derek Jeter. I remember them being like the Gatorade commercials.
Yes, the Gatorade.
Yeah. Remember that?
Yeah, we really looked up to those girls. Like something about like all of those girls were so, there's something about that team, that soccer team. They were so charismatic. I don't think there's ever been a team since that you just, I mean, I've just really gravitated. We gravitated to them back in the day, but yeah. Soccer. I love soccer.
That's hey, listen, just the fact that you're repping the sports tonight and everything is huge for our audience.
I know, I should be repping baseball. I should be like, that time I went to the Yankees game, which I did, there were times. But
that's going to be in the batting around episode with Christy Altomare, but let's see. Okay, here's a good one. America's band, the Beach Boys or the Eagles?
Ooh, America's band.
Yeah, you're the weight of the country, you know.
I don't think that you can say that. I don't think you can do that. Because it's like apples and oranges.
You know what I mean? They're that different?
Yes.
See, I think that the Beach Boys inspired the Eagles. Like Glenn Frey talked about how Brian Wilson inspired him when he wrote, you know, Peaceful Is a Feeling and
Okay, so then
California.
So then it would be the Beach Boys because they came first.
Well, how about this then? If you don't feel comfortable answering, can you say who you think is better?
Well, I like the Eagles.
Me too. That's the last big thing I did before COVID was see the Eagles at the Garden. So,
Oh my gosh.
Not debating that. Okay.
Yeah. Well, and it's like, I never listened to the Beach Boys growing up, but like the Eagles were always like on my mix, like when I was in my car on the way to school. So it's, you know, I guess technically they're the more my jam. But if you're going to like say America's jam, I don't know what the answer to that is.
I thought that we were going to have a headline like Christy Altomare speaks for USA says America's band is, but that's all right. How about this fact about Christy Altomare that would surprise people the most?
I guess some people sort of may know this, but I once won a Chipotle burrito eating contest. Me against 10 men.
Wow. Okay. That did surprise me. I didn't know that. See, wow. We're breaking news and breaking fats over here.
I'm really good at eating very fast. Okay. Oh, also here's another one. I love the game foosball. It's one of my favorite games and I will beat you anytime. I'm like so good at foosball. I love it. Yeah.
All that time watching Mia Hamm, obviously, you know, translated to the foosball table. So that's
yes,
that's
into huge. into my arms and my my wrists.
Perfect.
Not my feet at all. Just my arms.
Let's see. We'll do the final two that we use to close every show. Proudest moment of your career.
That's really hard. I think maybe opening night Anastasia. Like you work so hard to get there and then you get to do it. And, you know, you have that sense of like, I accomplished something beautiful and great that I love. So yeah, opening night. It's very cliche and very obvious, but yeah, probably that.
Hard to top. That's hard to top.
Yeah.
And what's the best piece of advice anyone ever gave you?
To be yourself, which is kind of a weird, also cliche about of advice, but it's the one thing that's gotten me through everything in my life. Like when I was in high school, my dad used to always just be like, there's only one you on this earth. Like nobody else is like you. Nobody. you are special. There's nobody like you. And it's not that I'm more special than someone else. We are all special. We are all unique. We all have something to bring to the table. And I think especially when you're a kid, and so often when you're a kid, you're always like looking to learn, looking to grow, looking to study. And those are important elements to a person, is that you should be learning to grow. You should be trying to be a better version of yourself all the time. But within that, you can get caught up in the, oh, I want to be there and I'm not there yet. Or, oh, I wish I was more like that person, or, oh, this. And so it's about maintaining that level of wanting to learn while also like patting yourself on the back for the things that make you, you. And so anytime that I've leaned into that, you know, I remember waiting for auditions for my college to see if I was going to get into college. And I'd be waiting in the waiting room and all these young teens were going in to perform for all of my favorite colleges and they're belting through the door. And I know I'm not like this massive belter at this time in my life, but I just kept telling myself, yeah, but you have your thing. You have the thing that makes you special. Like you go in there, you mix the song, you know, you emote, you cry in the moment. Like you do, you know, like we all have that thing that makes us us, right? That thing that we do, that thing that makes us special, that thing that makes us unique. And while, you know, I wish I had other elements, I wish I could jump into a split at that time in my life. By leaning into the parts that are you, that make you special, and having that pride in yourself, you're able to move forward with love, respect, and compassion for everyone else around you. So, yeah.
I love that. Awesome, Christy. It served you really well. You've had a tremendous career, and I'm so grateful that we had the chance to speak with you tonight. This was absolutely epic.
I'm grateful, too. And much like how... you know, nobody is perfect. We have to fail sometimes. I'm like so happy we're keeping in the part where I totally messed up that game, but it's going to be great.
Please, if you put me in a seventh inning stretch where I had to like sing or do what you do on stage, I wouldn't have even gotten a single hit. So you did.
I'll be like, these five notes, which of them is a high E?
Oh, I'm out.
Or a high C.
Would you at least give me multiple choice? I would hope.
Yes, I do A, B, C, D.
And even then I'm screwed, but
yeah, I'll have you on my podcast next time.
Deal. Anytime you want, Christy. That sounds awesome. And, listen, I cannot thank you enough for coming on tonight. This was so epic.
This was so much fun. Thank you so much for having me. I feel so honored. It was a blast.
That was an honor for me as well. And for all the folks at home, I cannot thank you enough for listening to Break a Bat tonight. Be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. This is Al Malafronte signing off from the Batter's Box. We'll see you next time.
Be well.
Keep that in.
Thanks for listening to Break a Bat. This is produced by the fine folks at the Broadway Podcast Network. Visit and subscribe at bpn.fm/breakabat. You can find me online at break_a_bat_podcast. And you can also find the Broadway Podcast Network on Instagram at Broadway Podcast Network. It's been so great having you here with us today, and we'll see you next time.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.